You are listening to the Midcurrent Church Podcast. Today's message is week 3 of our series, This Is Us, the heartbeat of Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
In his book, Leading Like It Matters, Pastor Craig Rochelle warns leaders in places of influence anywhere in the world today. He warns leaders that vision leaks. And because of that, he reminds the readers of his book that you can never underestimate the importance of communicating vision. Here's what he writes. I always tell our leaders, he leads a huge multi-site church based out of Oklahoma. He says, I always tell our leaders, cast vision more than you think you should. When you feel like you've finally done it enough, double it. Then he goes on to say, when you get tired of hearing yourself say the same thing over and over again, you are just getting started. Midcurrent Church, there's a phrase that we repeat here over and over again. There's a phrase that we use in emails to you and in welcomes to you on a Sunday morning. There's a phrase we use when communicating significant ministry updates or initiatives that we use in follow-up to videos that we show here on Sundays, talking about God's work in people's lives. There's a phrase that we have now plastered on the windows out front of our church on the street. Truthfully speaking, I think some of our staff, I think some of our volunteers, they feel a little bit funny every time they repeat this same phrase. I think there's a tendency to get just a little bit embarrassed to stand up here in front of you all and say the same thing over and over again. And so I have to remind all of them, and I have to remind myself at times, that it is precisely when we can't even take ourselves seriously. It is precisely when we can't even believe that we're about to utter the very same phrase or communicate the very same idea, that it is most likely just beginning to register or to click for everyone that's on the receiving end of the message that we are trying to get across. And so we won't stop repeating it. Friends, that phrase, now that you're on the edge of your seats, that phrase that we repeat till we're blue in the face, it communicates our vision at this time in the life of our church. You've already heard it here today. My guess is many of you could repeat it, but here it is. It is creating spaces and opportunities for real people and a real God to me. That's what we're all about, creating spaces and opportunities where real people and a real God meet. That is our vision. That is our idea of what God has asked us to do with this place that we call Midcurrent. And truthfully, it's different than our mission. When it comes to a church's mission or their mission statement, quite honestly, there isn't a whole lot of creativity necessary. Jesus gave all Jesus followers and Christian churches the mission. We read about it in Matthew chapter 28 in what has become known as the Great Commission. Here's what Jesus said. He said, go and make disciples of all the nations and teach these new disciples to obey all of the commands I have given you. And so for every Jesus-following church on every street corner here in Hudson and all across planet Earth, that's the mission. That's the goal. That's the target on the wall. That's the target that we are all shooting at. Every church, right? We're all on the same team. At least we should be. We're all on the same team trying to make that happen. And here's how we communicate that here. It's our mission statement that we exist, we say, we exist to reach more people for Jesus and to teach people to live more like him. We want to reach more people. That's the goal and make disciples part. As long as we got friends and neighbors who do not know Jesus, then we're going, hey, we still got work to do. We are still people on a mission. And then we want to teach them. We want to model for them. We want to inspire them to live more like Jesus taught all of us to live. That's the mission of our church. That's how we describe it. A vision, on the other hand, which I began with, our vision to create spaces and opportunities where real people and real God meet. A vision is what starts to make one church different from another. I'm not saying that one church is better than another. I'm not saying they're in competition with one another. They're not. Okay? But they will inevitably fulfill the Great Commission in ways that are unique to them, that are unique to their hearts, that are unique to their giftings and their calling and their skills and their people. And it's unique to their community and their little slice of the kingdom. And it takes all kinds of churches with all kinds of God-inspired visions to fulfill the Great Commission. And so here at Midcurrent, the vision that God put on our hearts, right, that sets us apart, that makes us unique, that makes us different from another church, right? This dream that we want to make a reality, a place where real people and real God meet. That is what we are all about. And that vision that God has for us, that vision is what This Is Us, our current message series, it's what it's all about too. It's been my goal over the last few weeks to help you understand how our heart beats. We want to help you understand why we do what we do here and why we do it the way we do it. We want to help you understand why we may not do some of the things that you might hope or that you might expect to see in church or that you might have seen other churches have done before. And so what we've done here with this message here is we just called a little bit of a timeout, right? We're seeing awesome, amazing growth since we've moved into this facility. And since Easter, we've seen so much growth. We said, hey, let's call a timeout and let's do this series, This Is Us, so that A, everyone who calls Midcurrent Church home can be an even greater partner and ambassador for what it is that we're all about. And B, so that anybody new or newer to Midcurrent in the recent weeks or months, all right, can learn what it is that we are all about as well. And so when this series is over, we are hoping that all of you will have a better understanding. You'll have a better sense of why we dress and why we create and why we design and why we plan and why we prepare and why we talk and why we act and why we sing and pray and worship and preach like we do. It's all because of this vision that God has placed on our heart for such a time as this. So whether you've been around Midcurrent for a while or you're new in the last couple months or maybe in the last couple weeks or maybe you're just checking things out today, we simply wanted to take time with this series to help you understand that vision more because it is what makes us tick. Now, there are three main components to it that I have found most helpful, that I have found very important to provide some details for. Three components to it that I've been displaying for you here throughout the series. Three components. Number one, there's this idea of real people, right? That's number one that I want to help communicate. Number two, there's this idea of a real God. It's the second component of this vision of ours. And number three, there's the idea of a meeting place. You're all sitting in it right now as we speak. So if we're doing something in a specific or a unique way, or this is also the case, if we're not doing something that you thought we might do or that you had seen done at some other church, we're not doing something that you might have expected that we would do, or if we've asked you to do something or not do something in a specific way as a volunteer on a ministry team, it is most likely because we are doing something intended to specifically try to fill one of these buckets. Right? It's most likely because we're doing something specifically intended to highlight our invitation to real everyday people or to highlight our confidence in a very real, active, loving God or to highlight or to communicate something about the place or the opportunity that we hope that the two would meet. So we've been breaking it down, this vision, into three components. And it all began, as we described to you in the very first week, we described to you about our invitation to real everyday people. And the truth is that invitation stems from the conclusion that the Apostle Peter came to when this whole Jesus movement first began. Jews, these were God's kind of original chosen people, they started fighting in the first century. They started fighting about who it is it could really be in on this whole Jesus thing. They're fighting about it. They're arguing about it. And so they called a big meeting, the Council of Jerusalem. And this was Peter's conclusion. He kind of presided over the meeting. Here's his conclusion. We read about it in the New Testament book of Acts. Here's what he says about this question of, hey, who can be in on this whole deal? He says, let's not make it difficult. This is his conclusion. He says, it is my conclusion, therefore, let's not make it difficult for Gentiles who are turning to God. This has been the backbone. This has been literally the backbone behind so much of what we do. I've said before, it's maybe like one of my favorite Bible verses. Let's not make it difficult. Right? This is the backbone. This is why we design worship experiences like we do. I am insistent when we gather together like this, when anybody stands up here in front of all of you, I'm insistent that we don't make it difficult or boring or weird or out of touch or irrelevant or hard to understand for real everyday people who are turning to God. And so we work hard. We work hard to translate significant spiritual truth into street terms, right? Into street language, into stuff that all of you can understand. It actually reminds me of another passage. We haven't looked at it yet, but another passage from the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians that kind of gets at this same notion. Listen to what the author Paul writes from chapter 14 in the Message. He says this, "But when I'm in a church assembled for worship, I'd rather say 5 words that everyone can understand and learn from than say 10,000 words that sound to others like gibberish." Couldn't have said it better myself. Okay? This is what we want to be about, and it is why we do so much of what we do the way we do it. And the goal, there's a goal behind this. The goal is that we would help real, everyday people, just like you, just like me, just like your friends and your neighbors. We have a goal that real, everyday people would see, at least when it comes to what we're doing at Mid-Current Church, would see that Christianity, that faith, that spirituality is approachable. It's accessible. It's tangible. You can come up. It's for you. You can cut. It's not for them. It's not for church people. It's for you. It's for real everyday people. You can come up close. You could take a look at it. You could even try it on for size. It doesn't bite, right? That's what we're trying to communicate. Faith, spirituality is approachable and accessible and tangible for you. At the same time, we talked about this last week, at the same time, our confidence, our utmost confidence in a real God means that we have to take God at his word. And we try to encourage you. I try to encourage you in that every time I stand up here on a Sunday morning. We have to take God at his word. Truth be told, I mean, I wish it was just like the let's not make it difficult part. I wish it was just that part. We say, hey, let's not make it difficult. This is all good. It's all fun and game. I wish it was all just that part, but the reality is God has asked us. He has instructed us to live a particular way, to be people who are set apart. And so we're not going to shy away from teaching that stuff because there's a reason. Because when we align ourselves, with all that stuff, when we align ourselves with God's teaching and with God's activity and with God's will for our lives, it is then and only then that we get to experience for ourselves that God is faithful. It's when we align ourselves with God's teaching, God's activity in the world, and God's will that we get a chance to see that God is faithful. We saw this demonstrated, for those of you that were with us, we saw this demonstrated in the story of Rahab in the Old Testament. She was a total outsider when it came to God's people, total outsider. And yet, in the story that we read, she acknowledged the supremacy of the God of Israel. She said, yeah, he's the real deal. This God is greater than all of the rest. And she aligned herself then with God's activity in the world. And she discovered for herself just how faithful that God really is. And so we have to understand the same thing. When we align ourselves with God's activity in the world, with some of the hard stuff that he's asked us to do when we follow after him, we've got to understand it is then and only then that we get a chance to see how faithful God is to us. That brings us to today, where we put the spotlight on the third component of this vision of ours. We put the spotlight on this idea of a meeting place, the place where real people and a real God meet. And so I'm just going to go ahead with the final reveal for you. I won't make you wait any longer. Okay? When we talk about a meeting place, whether it's this new facility that we have called home for the last, you know, 6-7 months, or whether it's Camp St. Croix, where we started a little over 5 years ago, or whether it's some new building 10 years from now, we have a particular goal in mind. We want to send a big, loud message to anyone who will listen that church is hospitable. That's our goal. When we talk about our invitation, we talk about our hope, we talk about our desire to create a space where real people and a real God meet, this is what it's all about. We want people to see that faith is approachable, that God is faithful, and that church is hospitable. Hospitality, if you really start to flip through the pages of Scripture, you would see that it is a theme all throughout God's word to us. Here's a few examples. The book of Romans urges us, welcome one another, therefore, just as what? Just as Christ welcomed you. Okay, the author of the book of Hebrews, he writes this. He says, Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it. The point is this, that you never know who is going to walk through your door. You never know, right? So don't forget to show hospitality above everything else. You never know. You never know who's walking through the door. So you always got to be ready to roll out the red carpet. You always got to be expecting guests. You always got to have the coffee on, and you got to have it taste good, right? You got to make sure that the floor is swept. You got to make sure that the carpets are vacuumed. You got to make sure the bathrooms are clean. Do not forget to show hospitality. This is what we are shooting for. We want our environments, right? Every time, no matter where we are, no matter what, you know, room or space that we are gathered in, we want every one of our environments to be as hospitable as ever. Here's why. We believe that in the environments we create, we believe that the environments that we create send messages. And the reality is there are no neutral environments, okay? Whether you intend it or not, the environment you create, make no mistake, it is sending a message. It's just a question of whether or not you are in control of the message that that environment is sending. Pastor Andy Stanley, in his book, Deep and Wide, he says this. He says that environments are the message before the message. Let me repeat that to you. He says that environments that we create in church, they are the message before the message. He reminds his staff constantly that the sermon begins in the parking lot. That makes so much sense to me. The sermon begins in the parking lot. Why? Because by the time that the average church attender makes it to the point in the service that we call the message, they have already received dozens and dozens of other messages. It's the information that they found online. It's the cleanliness of the building. It's the greeting they received at the front door, or you know, the signs that directed them on the inside where they should go. It was the space that was designed for kids and how well the teachers were ready for those kids. It's the songs that they sing, and it's how quickly the words change on screen, right? All of those things have probably sent a message to guests about whether or not the church expected visitors in the first place, and it has most likely, all the messages that they received, it has most likely helped people to make up their minds well before they get to this point. It's probably helped people make up their minds about whether or not that they would come back. Environments send messages. It's just a question of whether or not we are in control of them. And so we want our environments that we create here, we want these environments to send the message that we are ready for guests. We're expecting people who have never been here before, and we're trying to send the message. We want you to make yourself at home. We want to send the message that the church is hospitable. And that's why we worked really hard. Like really hard. That's why we worked hard to design this new home of ours to be really attractive and really comfortable. Quite honestly, to look and feel a lot less like a church and more just like a place that you want to hang out. It's why we built 4 incredible MC kids classrooms. It's why we work hard to have an attractive and an easy-to-use website online. It's why we care about how we present ourselves on social media. It's not because we're concerned about, you know, like our image and how cool we look on Instagram. It's because we're trying to provide a window In as many ways as possible, we're trying to provide a window into this meeting place that sends an invitation to people and say, hey, I think you might like it here. You should come give it a shot. We'd love to have you come join in on what's happening here. It's why we create a casual and yet meaningful worship experience for all of you. It's why we serve coffee, and it's why we let you take it into the sanctuary. Okay, which, by the way, I kid you not, I love the questions that we get about coffee here. It happens all the time. I'm not joking about this. People ask all the time that we're about the coffee. They go, is this free? And then the next thing they want to know is, can I take it in there, right? And this is amazing. I love getting to answer them. Yes, it's free, and yes, you can take it in there, right? The reality is the carpet isn't red, and so if you spill, nobody will know. I mean, if we had a choice, we'd prefer maybe you don't spill, but if you do, we'll get over it. We'll figure something out. Why? Because, why any of this? Because we want to send the message that what? The church is hospitable. Truthfully, this is the goal, right? Truthfully, most of the time, we wish we could take it even one step further. We certainly want the environments to be hospitable. That's what we're shooting for. That's why we do all of the stuff that we do. But more than that, we actually want to make sure that every one of our environments is irresistible. We want to create a place that you would actually be drawn to. I've been saying it throughout this series, that if we can capture your attention, we believe deep down in our bones that God can capture your heart. Let me say that again. We really do believe if we can capture your attention with anything that we do or design or how, if we can capture your attention, we believe deep down in our hearts that God can capture your heart. And that's why I'm willing to do anything short of sin to get your attention. Right? So if we can get your attention, if we can get your attention with a stage and with fancy lights and cool videos and ripping guitar solos and free coffee, then we're gonna do it. Okay? If I thought we could get your attention with a fog machine in worship, we'd do that too. Okay? That you laugh. The funny thing is, man, church people, they get all uptight about fog machines in worship these days. Maybe you're going like, I didn't know that's a thing. It's a thing. And church people can't handle it. They can't handle the fog in worship. In every church I've ever been to, Mid-Current included, I hear, like I said, man, church people that can't handle it. They speak with such disgust about fog in worship. Like, ugh, I can't believe anybody would ever do that. If I'm honest with you for a second here, I'll pull the curtain back. I'll be real honest. If I'm honest with you, I think that kind of criticism is silly. And if you're in the anti-fog camp, don't worry. We do not have one right now. So, okay, you got nothing to worry about. I just wish, I'm being honest. I just wish when it came to stuff like this, I just wish that Jesus' followers were just a little more thoughtful about matters like this, right? A tool like a fog machine, or a secular song, or a flashing light, or an electric guitar solo, right? A tool like that, it has no inherent value on its own, right? It only has the value that we assign to it, right? So if the value that you assign to a tool like a fog machine, if the value you assign to it is just to kind of like up your image and up your cool factor, well, then I don't know. Then maybe it's not really a great call in worship. Maybe a bad idea. But I'm thinking, why not assign something that has no value on itself? Why not assign something like that with heavenly value? Okay, why not give a spiritual role for it to fulfill? Right? See, here's the truth, that so many of the people that I would love to invite into church on Sunday morning, they most likely spent Saturday night at the XL Energy Center for a concert where the lights were flashing and the fog was flying. And so in an effort to be hospitable in church on Sunday, I'm going, why not? I mean, as often as we can and as much as we can do it well, I'm going, why not create? Why not create somewhat of a similar or familiar or even a comfortable environment for them? Why not get their attention? If that's where they're hanging out, then why not get their attention with a similar tool only to send a completely different message? Why not get their attention with a similar tool, believing full well that God is standing by in that fog-filled moment, prepared to grab a hold of their heart? Why not build bridges between, you know, secular and spiritual culture rather than by like pitting them against each other and separating them by giant fogless alligator-filled moats with tiny little drawbridges that only a few hardy people dare cross? Why not be a little more hospitable than that? Why not work to create as God-centered, as Jesus-focused an environment that is as irresistible as possible? That's why we do what we do. That's why I'm not afraid to do anything, to use anything. I'll do anything short of sin to get the attention of people in our world today, because I believe that God, if we do, I believe that God can capture their heart. It is why we do what we do. And if you cannot tell, it is this vision of ours to create spaces and opportunities where real people and a real God meet. This vision of ours, it gets me just a little bit fired up. And my hope, the reason I take time, we call this time out to do this series, right? It is my hope that it would get you a little bit fired up too. My hope is that it might stir something up in you so that you might link arms with us more. So that this might be a place that you think, you know what, I'd like to call that home. It's that you would partner with us in even greater ways for the sake of the good news of the gospel. And if you do link arms with us in any way, if you do partner with us in any way, here's what you gotta know. Here's what you have to know. I want you to make sure that you're absolutely certain of this. When you do link arms with us, when you do give us more of your time and more of your talent and more of your energy, when you do volunteer to be the new fog machine operator, okay? When you give back, we don't have it yet, just don't worry, okay? When you give back in any way, you got to know you're not just doing it for our gain. Okay? When you choose to give back to God here faithfully and generously, it's not just so that we would make a profit. We're a nonprofit organization. When you give generously here, you don't have to worry that the very next week I'm going to show up driving some new fancy car, right? When you give here generously, you don't have to worry that, you know, that all that goes into some secret fund that finances my skinny jean collection or my hair care products. Okay, of which I am very particular about. You don't gotta worry about that. When you link arms with us in any way, all you are doing, I wanna make sure you're absolutely clear about this, all you are doing is helping us to broadcast the message to anyone who is listening that Christianity and faith, it's approachable, that God is faithful, and that church is, at least it can be, hospitable. This is the foundation. Faith is approachable. God is faithful. The church is hospitable. This is the very foundation of our desire to create places and to create opportunities for real people and a real God to me. And we can't wait to see what it is that God is gonna continue to do here in this place because of it. Let me pray for us. God, we give you thanks for today. So much to celebrate. Kids that are coming before you, families and parents that are saying, hey, we raise our hands to do everything we can to help our kids to know and follow you, God. So we are so excited about that, and we are cheering for, and we are standing alongside those families. And God, we're just blown away at what you're doing here at this place called Midcurrent. God, in just six short years, to see the ways that you are working and moving in this community. God, to see the ways that you have inspired more and more of us to do everything we can to create spaces and places where real people and a real God meet. God, we give you thanks. We really know that this church was your idea, God. We're blown away that you would ask us to be a part of it. And God, so I am with an open hand and with an open heart, God, we are praying that more people would come to know what it is that we are about, that more people would jump in, that more people would become ambassadors for what it is that we believe you are up to here in this place. God, we're praying that more and more people would become partners of ours, ambassadors of ours, to help send the message to anyone who is listening, that faith really is approachable and accessible, that God, you really are faithful, and that church is hospitable, and that the welcome mat is rolled out as often as we can. God, we give you thanks for this place, and we give you thanks for the ways that you are working here. And we just ask that God, you would be our guide as we continue into the future to be this place that you have called us to be. It's in the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Midcurrent Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m.